AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Brett and Hunter filling in today. Well, Ellie Krug is one of the voices you hear frequently on AM 950. She used to host Hidden Edges Radio and now, of course, hosts Ellie 2.0 Radio every Monday morning from 7 till 8. And there's a lot of listeners who are big fans of Ellie, and coming up in a couple weeks, you actually have a chance to meet Ellie in person. As you've probably heard on her show, outside of her radio show, she's also a professional public speaker and inclusivity trainer, and one of the signature trainings she gives is called Gray Area Thinking. And coming up on Monday, November 5th at Open Book in Minneapolis at 6:30, she's opening up her Gray Area Thinking to the public for the very first time, so definitely looking forward to that. It's your chance to not only meet Ellie in person, but also learn a little bit more about what she does. So joining us to talk about that public Gray Area Thinking event is none other than Ellie Krug. Ellie, it's great to talk with you.
Oh, thanks, Brett. I'm really thrilled to be able to have this conversation.
Well, it's kind of fun to be on the other side of the glass. Normally, I'm on the other side producing your show. Now we're both on the same side over here.
Well, you're a great producer, and I know you're going to be a great interviewer as well.
We'll see. Well, I have some big shoes to fill with all the interviews you've done.
Oh, well.
Well, let's start off with the very basics. Tell us, what exactly is gray area thinking?
Okay, so, you know, even though I'm transgender, I go around the country, North America, actually, and I speak at all kinds of organizations like governmental entities, like counties or cities or court systems or to businesses. You know, I've spoken at many of the major corporations here in the Twin Cities. I'm going to speak as this is going to air. I'll be at Land's End out in Dodgeville speaking to them. And I talk about the need for humans on how to better interact with people who are quote-unquote different or other from us. So gray area thinking is a training on human inclusivity that is not LGBTQ-focused. It's all human-focused. And it's been widely and very well received across the country. But if you want, I can describe the training a little bit better than that even.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But I want to know, how did you put this training together? What was kind of the genesis of the idea? Did you see a void in like corporate and organization training when it came to inclusivity and diversity that was missing?
Well, when I transitioned genders in 2009, people started asking me, what's it like to be transgender? And so I started, you know, doing just sort of off-the-cuff kind of talks. That turned into a very formal Trans 101 talk. But as I did that, I realized that there's actually a much bigger thirst out there for how people can better understand other humans just generally, how we can all get along better, not just transgender people. And so so I formulated this training. It's a product of my imagination. There's one element of the training that I grab from someone else with permission, and I've seriously modified it since then, but for the most part, it's all my imagination.
Excellent. How many years have you been doing it now?
So gray area thinking has been on the shelf here for probably a good 5 years in one form or another, but every year it gets perfected better, and there are new things that I add to it. So if somebody had been to Gray Area Thinking 2 years ago, it's different than what they were 2 years
and
they
again,
went through.
Yeah, and again, this is the first time it's open to the public. I mean, normally it's closed to corporations or organizations, but this is a really big deal that anyone can come and see this.
That's right. So, for example, in October, I will have talked to over 1,000 people, but all of those talks will be to a closed loops, where it's an organization that brings me in, they hire me to come in, and certainly I'm speaking to their team members or constituents, but it's not open to the general public. This one is, and I'm really excited about that.
So let's get into the training itself. What sorts of tools do you use?
So the training has four modules to it. The first is how we group and label other humans. And I use my voice a little bit as a tool for that because, of course, I sound like a dude, but look like a chick. And that first module about how we group and label others is also about how we're a very tribal society. So I'll go through the room and I'll identify the tribes that exist in the room because we're all members of multiple tribes. Then after I have everybody thoroughly depressed, because it is depressing to think that that's the way we operate, I talk about our saving graces, which are one, our empathetic hearts, and then our second saving grace are what I call the four commonalities that humans have four things in common. That's the first module. The second module is how we group and label ourselves, and that's audience participation. I will have signs on the wall representing 19 different identities like age, race, gender, LGBTQ status. I have one sign that's for compassion, one that's for not good enough, one that's about political affiliations. I get people up and I read them prompts and I ask them to go stand by the sign that's responsive to them for the prompt. And you see people go stand by signs that you would never have expected people to do that. And that's with the principle that, first of all, you can never tell anything by anyone simply by looking at them. And secondly, the principle that we all have far more in common than what we really know. So that's very powerful. It's sometimes emotional for people. The third module is the actual tool set of gray area thinking. And I demonstrate that by showing a video of a bus driver who saves a woman from taking her life. We will watch that unfold on the screen. It's a happy video. The woman is saved. But that represents the three elements of gray area thinking: awareness, risk-taking, and compassion. And then the last module are the three levels of human inclusivity: tolerance, acceptance, and party host. And I'll bring up audience members and we'll do a little bit of role playing and we'll demonstrate those. We have fun. We have laughs. What I consistently hear about this training is that it went way faster than I expected. I didn't even want to look at my phone.
Always a good thing, yeah, when you go. Yeah, because, I mean, I've worked in the corporate world myself before radio, and you get those training sessions. Yeah, you are kind of looking at your phone saying, I got something better to do. I don't want to be this. I got a meeting.
And I never hear that. Mm-hmm. I never, ever hear that from my trainings. So.
And you talk about how you're surprised by some of the reactions people have, or when you were talking about kind of the grouping and labeling where you put people under different labels. One of the specific stories that kind of stuck with me that I think you brought up, it was either Hidden Edges or LE 2.0, how I think you were speaking with a group of Iowa judges and they went under these different categories. And you were just, can you get into a little more detail about that? I don't remember the exact story, but it was really powerful when I heard.
So I trained the state of Iowa judiciary, 160 judges and Supreme Court justices, including the Chief Justice. And when we got to the second module of the training, how we group and label ourselves, one of the prompts I ask is the identity that I struggle with the most on a day-to-day basis, because this is about you, okay? And when I ask that prompt to 160 judges and justices, out of 160, 40 stood under the sign, not good enough / failure. 40 out of 160. And as I do this training across North America, somewhere between a quarter and half the room are standing under that sign, not good enough, in response to the prompt, the identity I struggle with, which is just so incredibly powerful to see. It's also very sad when we think about how much we're beating ourselves up. And that's why this training is emotional for some people, because it's opening doors for them to make them think about things that they hadn't thought about. And that's the whole goal, because it's not been working by thinking the same way that we've been doing. We need to think differently. And some of that's uncomfortable, but it's good uncomfortable.
We're speaking with Ellie Krug, of course, the host of Ellie 2.0 Radio. And again, she has a public event coming up, Gray Area Thinking, the first time that's ever been made available to the public. You can get your tickets at it's elliekrug.com, correct?
Or they can just Google Eventbrite Gray Area Thinking, Eventbrite tickets, Gray Area Thinking, and it'll come up. It's going to be at Open Book at 6:30. To 8:30 on November 5th, the night before the election.
The day before the election. Easy date to remember, so definitely make sure you go and attend. So let's talk a little bit about some of the other reactions you've received from people. I mean, it's been kind of all over the board. Even people who go into this, you know, kind of with a negative attitude saying, well, this is a waste of time. I don't
absolutely
want to go through this. Yeah.
Absolutely. I have people come up to me who say, you know, I didn't want to be here. You know, they made me come, you know, and then what they say to me is, I'm so happy that I went through this. It was not what I expected, you know, and what I believe, Brett, is that in order for us to change the way that we interact with each other, in order, you know, remember, I'm an idealist, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and what I believe to fulfill that idealism is, I just don't think commanding people to think differently is going to work. You know, you're going to not, you know, be biased against somebody, or you're going to treat them more nicer, or you're not going to marginalize. That does not work. However, if we inspire them, it will work. So I was in San Francisco just last week, training a group of lawyers at a conference, and I had a woman who came up to me because in the last prompt of that second module, the identity game where people stand under signs, the last module asks this question, which is, the last prompt is the identity I want to be known for. had 110 people in the room. Out of 110 people, all but two stood under one of two signs, compassion or family. And out of those two, the vast majority, I would say there were 70 or 80 people under compassion. And this woman came up to me and she started crying and she said, Ellie, I would never have believed that all but two in that room would want compassion to be the identity that they would be known for. Because family is also about compassion. Family is no longer about blood. It's about affinity. I mean, I've been best friends, as your listeners, our listeners have heard, been best friends with somebody since eighth grade. I'm part of his family. And she started crying, and she said, we have to move away from here. Will you walk with me so we can go to a place? And then she just went to outright bawling. When we found a place, a quiet, I had to wrap my arms around her. And she just said, you've given me hope. I haven't been able to get hope for such a long time, and this has given me hope. All but two under compassion.
Wow. That, all but two. That's unbelievable to think
about. No, Brett, and I guarantee you, when people come to the training on Monday night, when I ask that last prompt, the identity that we want to be known for, the identity I want to be known for, that almost everybody in the room will be under one or another sign related to compassion. And that's the story behind this training, because we all we hear is division in our country right now, how we're at each other's backs and all that stuff. There are people standing under compassion that are blue people, red people, Bernie people. No, the story that no one understands is that we all want to be good to each other. Yes, there are those people that are out there making noise about marginalizing and all that, but they are such a small minority. That's why this training is so important. That's why it's so powerful, because it gets everybody to understand that we all are trying to survive the human condition and we all want to be good to each other. We do, regardless of color, regardless of religion, regardless of LGBTQ or socioeconomic standing.
So finally, before we go, what ultimately do you want people, I know you've kind of addressed this earlier, what do you want people to take away from attending Gray Area Thinking? What's the main thing you want them to walk away with?
I want them to walk away with understanding that we are all working to survive the human condition, and that there is no way that you can tell the extent to which somebody is surviving or not surviving simply by looking at them.
And I think the timing of this is so great, too, before a very divisive election.
Yep.
I mean, we're in the era of Trump and...
Yep.
People to see so much division, and hopefully this is a way to really bridge that divide and get people thinking that, you know, even if someone is other, you have a lot in common with them.
We do. And that this is really what America is about, Brett. It's about the ideals of our country that we will, you know, that we will believe in the character of human beings. Compassion. You can't get to any better piece of character than that.
Absolutely. Again, we're speaking with Ellie Krug of Ellie 2.0 Radio. She's got a public event with Gray Area Thinking coming up on Monday, November 5th. I know there are lots of Ellie Krug fans on AM 950. This is your chance to meet Ellie in person and hear a little bit about what she does. A really cool event coming up. Give us the details one more time and how people can get tickets.
So to be Monday night, Monday, November 5th, the night before the election, from 6:30 to 8:30 at Open Book on Washington Avenue in Minneapolis. There's plenty of parking. They need to go to Eventbrite, the Google Eventbrite Gray Area Thinking, and the registration and the ticket. The ticket is, I think, $18.50. It's not a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 hours of inspiration and hope.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to that. Again, we've been speaking with Ellie Krug of Ellie 2.0 Radio. And make sure you register for Gray Area Thinking Monday, November 5th. Ellie, thanks so much for coming on the program
today. Thanks for having me, Brett. I really appreciate it.